All right. Thank you for joining us. I'm Roger Corey. So I appreciate the opportunity, David. I had a lot of fun with you on Monday when we did the crowd forecast. And I thought it'd be fun to do a before and after, since episode 343, we ended with a little bit of a forecast of what we expected the market to do over the week. And I think here is a great example of what I'll display for you a little bit today. But where we were, you can see the little crosshairs, the vertical and horizontal line there. That was about where the market was when we were together on Monday. And the projection was that we're going to be moving higher versus lower as the week unfolded. And I thought it'd be fun for you to see. I've built a reputation over the last 10 plus years of actually forecasting the markets in real time, live in front of an audience. So you can't fake or cheat that. And so it's always fun to kind of watch a before and after of what happened. So let's get going here, because I think this is going to be really interesting and fun for a lot of you. Again, I want to thank you for joining me for this educational presentation, which is on how this one skill will eliminate the experience of inconsistency, fear, uncertainty, and the need for trade psychology. Okay. One of the things that I think people really struggle with is the fact that when they have an objective, rules-based process, a system, a strategy, one of the things that people, I think, don't realize is when they think they have something objective, the objectivity stops the moment they enter into a position, because all the information in terms of should I get in, should I not get in, has been accessed at the point when you see an indicator, you get an alert or whatever that tells you this is a buying signal or a selling signal. You don't know what's going to unfold after that, whether you're if you took 100 positions, whether and let's say you have even a 60% edge, right? Is this position going to be part of the 40 they're going to lose, or is it part of the 60 they're going to win, or they're going to win, right? So I want to make sure that we cover some of these things, because that uncertainty is often the biggest driving factor behind people's self-destructive, self-sabotaging tendencies. Now, this presentation on trade psychology is going to be unlike any that you've ever heard. And that's because this one skill that you're about to learn, that you're going to learn about rather, is going to eliminate the need for trade psychology. We'll go through that here. But I'm seeing some people join us. So real quick, for those who are just joining us, I'm obviously Roger Corey. I'm the founder and CEO of Market Forecasting Academy and the developer of Demand Imbalance Arbitrage, which I'll cover with you today. But for context, it's important for you to know that I'm like many of you. I started my trading journey back in 1996, and I was back then and throughout many years after, I was shelling out large sums of money to well-meaning gurus only to be disappointed again and again. No matter how hard I tried, nothing ever seemed to last. Now, this doesn't mean I was taken by anyone, but as you'll see, that even the professionals are victims of the very thing that I had to overcome on my own. So each time I found that I'd had to look for the next new thing that seemed to be working at that time. And that turned out to be an endless cycle, which many professionals often say that's just the nature of the beast. Well, after 14 years and spending more than $300,000 on trading education, systems, tools during that whole period of time, by the way, this doesn't even include the losses, but I had to admit to myself that I was not much better off than when I first began. Now, I may have learned a lot, but what I learned wasn't really getting me anywhere. So I have to question, what was the real value, right? The value really just wasn't there for me. Now, this started me on a journey. And I have to say, it ended up with me discovering a completely different approach to the markets that was totally counterintuitive. And once I fine-tuned it, I was finally able to accomplish the goals I set for myself through the markets. And that led to having a lot of free time on my hands. Why is that important? I think it's important to know that you can be successful, but if you don't have a whole lot of time on your hands and you've got to limit your ability to where you spend time and when and where you want it, because you got to maintain and keep up with whatever is providing for you. Well, that is a form of success, but is that really what is giving you a sense of fulfillment and contentment in life? I think it's important to think about how much time am I being able to give myself? All right. So now I have to say, I never intended on teaching my methodology or turning it into a business, but people around me started noticing that I had this free time, a lot of it. And they started asking, what are you doing? What's going on? How come everyone else is working? You're out here just socializing, volunteering time. What do you do? And so that I had a very controlled approach for being consistent and outperforming the markets without taking big risks or holding on to large drawdowns naturally piqued people's interest. And that's when people began to ask if I'd be willing to teach them. And I used to teach Sunday school. And so I knew how rewarding that was. So I was like, yeah, sure, why not? You know, so from there, it kind of snowballed over the years. And today, over 90% of my clients still come from word of mouth referrals from existing clients. So that's kind of a statement in itself. But that experience ultimately led to becoming the founder and CEO of Market Forecasting Academy. And through marketforecastingacademy.com, we offer qualified individuals the opportunity to learn about a completely different approach to the markets that I call demand imbalance arbitrage. And you'll learn about that in this pivotal presentation. And if you're interested in learning all the details about it, you'll have the opportunity to access a free mini course that goes into greater detail. So for now, just want you to relax and really focus on taking in what I have to share with you, because there's nothing to buy at the end of this presentation. But I can guarantee that it will be transformational, it'll be eye-opening, it'll prove to be the most valuable information you'll hear all year. Now, let's talk about why trade psychology is traditionally needed. And for that, we have to start with uncertainty. Uncertainty about what price is going to do next in the market. This is what causes a lot of the doubt, the second guessing of yourself, the fear, the stress, which causes you to have basically the temptations and then the emotions that drive self-sabotaging behaviors, right? So if you're trading with uncertainty, you need to always be mindful of managing your emotions and your mental state, hence the need for trade psychology. But the problem is that's exhausting and it takes a tremendous amount of effort, which most people don't really have the energy or the time for. And for that reason, it ends up not being very effective. And what I discovered was a more simple, much better, more realistic and doable way. And that's by eliminating the uncertainty that you have to deal with in the first place. So you don't even need trade psychology. Otherwise, no matter what trading system, no matter what trading approach, no matter what strategy or signal service you use, you're always going to be uncertain about what's going to happen next. And that's what drives a lot of your fear and doubt and concerns and self-sabotaging behaviors. And by the time you find out, it's often too late, unless you can overcome the three causes of uncertainty. And the very first cause of uncertainty is relying on lagging indicators. Have you ever realized that price itself is actually a lagging indicator? See, this means any other indicator derived from price, like RSI, Bollinger Bands, moving averages, and you can name any and all the traditional indicators that come on a chart. And they are not only lagging, but they're even more disadvantaged than looking at price action itself. Because again, price itself is lagging. And therefore, the chart indicators are lagging even more since everything's all based on the past. Now, think about this logically. How can you ever have any certainty about the future based solely on past information? You can't. Demand turns out to be the only true leading indicator because price always follows demand. Think about it. What causes price to rise and fall in any market? Demand. Price reflects where demand is and where demand is expanding or contracting. But how do you identify real-time demand so that you can be ahead of the market instead of being victimized by it? So this brings us to the cause of uncertainty after this, which is number two. It's about not having a complete picture of all the objective data that you need to consider to identify real-time demand in any market in any time frame. And this simply means that you have an incomplete picture of what's going on, and that leads you to trading blind. Did you know there are 8 major demand factors that move price? But most people only use 1 or 2 of them, like fundamentals and technical analysis. But there are 6 more factors they aren't properly taking into account. And then they wonder why they get surprised and blindsided by unseen forces. Now, the 8 major demand factors that move price are the following. Number 1 is fundamentals. Number 2, you have geopolitical forces, which include central bank and macroeconomic effects. Number 3, you have volatility and the different phases it goes in and out of. Number 4, market sentiment. Number 5, liquidity levels. And that includes volume as well as order flow and trade flow. And this is where a lot of people, you know, people focused on smart money. What are the big banks doing? Well, that has to be taken into account as well. In fact, one of the other things we have to take into account are dark pools as well. And by the way, between liquidity levels and what I call prime liquidity pools, it's often where you see dark pools of money coming in and affecting and impacting the market. This is all based on very specific data. This is also where you see high frequency trading algorithms, brokers, and market makers coming in who love to target these areas. Now, if you don't know that they exist, let alone know how to identify them, how can you take them into account? This specific factor here, prime liquidity pools, is the main reason why people get stop hunted and get whipsawed and watch the market go without them. So if you've ever had that experience where you, you know, you've done your analysis and it looks like there's an overwhelming amount of evidence that says there's just no way the market can continue where it's at. It's got to go higher. And so you're convinced, so you get in and you find a really great level of support that you think you're going to be under that for your stop loss. And then you get in, the market teases you, looks like it's going to go your way. It comes down, triggers you out, you get stopped, and it goes without you. This is a prime liquidity pool. So that's where big institutions and big players can manipulate the market. So this is something that you have to take into account. Doesn't it make sense to actually identify those areas? So that way that experience becomes a thing of the past. So this is one of the key factors that you have to be aware of. Number seven is imbalances in supply and demand. And finally, eight, last but not least, is technical analysis factors and its effects on the market. And this takes into account and replaces the most useful indicators and the traders use, right? Including Fibonacci, Elliott Wave, and GAM, all right? Now, this may seem like an overwhelming amount of information to track, right? Actually, it's not. It's like if you could think of your fuel gauge on your car, it's a very simple indication, right? And it tells you how much fuel you have. So if you think about, well, if you wanted to take a road trip that's 250 miles, you know, long, well, if you have a quarter of a tank of gas, that's an immediately recognizable objective data that says, hey, you can't go 250 miles down the road without first stopping and refueling, right? It's objective data. It's not subject to someone's interpretation. Anyone can look at that and say a quarter tank of gas will not get you 250 miles down the road. You have to stop and refuel. Now, guess what? When you think about that, that all of a sudden eliminates the fear of, am I going to run out of gas? Can I make it? You know, with total objectivity, what you can expect. And that removes the fear, right? That removes the uncertainty. You have information, right? That's critical. So I've combined all of these demand factors that we just went over and their subsets into a simple, visually intuitive indicator, giving users a leading real-time demand indicator, right? So we can see where demand is in real time. So you always know where price is going next with at least an 80 to 90% level of accuracy. In other words, having an 80 to 90% statistical probability of being right. That's really critical. In fact, to show you how powerful it is, it's really how I can show up in front of a live audience for 10 years now and confidently forecast the market in real time. And for those of you who viewed Monday's broadcast, you remember that I was asked for my forecast of where what my analysis told me the market's going to do over the week and whether I saw it going higher or lower. And I said higher with a minimum target of between 4,010 to 4,020 for the S&P 500 market. As you can see here, the forecast not only went there, but continued even higher. So why is this real time before and after example of a live market forecast important to highlight? Okay, is it because I want to massage my ego? Not at all, far from it. Those who know me also know that I'm not wired that way. It is, however, to impress upon you that this is an objective analysis process that anyone can learn and successfully implement without any prior experience. And it'll provide its users with the same confidence and consistency that it's known for since 2010 when I developed it. Because actually, this is what's interesting. Since I developed it back in 2010, it's been so reliable and dependable that I've never once tweaked it, fixed it, modified it, or updated it. Not even once, never. So it's robust and is as constant as gravity. That's the level of accuracy, clarity, and consistency that I'm sharing with you today. All right. And again, just to make sure you guys understand that crosshair, for those of you joining a little bit late, the crosshairs here that you see on the chart here, the vertical line and the horizontal line, that's where we're at. And this little green rectangular box that I drew was at the time where I was seeing a minimum move that the market would be going up higher when we were doing the crowd forecast. I think it was episode 343. Okay, so that's a little fun little fact for you to go back and research yourself. But as we move on to cause number three for uncertainty, let's think about, have you ever wondered why a strategy or system seems to perform well for you for a while, but then always eventually ends up falling apart, no matter how diligent you are sticking to the rules, which means no amount of discipline in this case can even help you, right? So it's not about discipline. It's because no matter what system, strategy, or signal service you use, they are all subject to something I call the fatal flaw. And it's unavoidably baked into every strategy, every system, and signal service you'll ever encounter, no matter how simple or complex it is. In fact, no matter how much cutting-edge technology is behind it. And the reason is simply this. Every strategy and approach to buying and selling in the markets are necessarily developed based on the current and previous conditions in the market. So think about that. If you see something, you see a pattern, whether it's a price pattern or anything else that's occurring in the market, you say, oh, wow, this keeps repeating. So let me test this, you know, forward, let me back test this. And you find, oh, I've got, you know, when this and this happens, looks like the market does this. And it looks like this is accurate right now for at least 60, 70% of the time. So I've got a great winning strategy here. I'm going to be right 60, 70% of the time. I've got a statistical edge that's in my favor. Wonderful. Okay. Well, here's what happens. What happens when the condition continually evolves as it does and changes just enough, as it always does, where the conditions are no longer favorable for that strategy? Well, that strategy is going to necessarily start to perform inconsistently, poorly, or not at all. Okay. So the only constant in the market is change. So we have to find a way to be able to step outside of that change, right? Very much like a meteorologist is outside of the weather. They can look at all the environmental factors, like I just mentioned to you here, like we have R8 in the markets, and be able to see combined together, what is their combined impact on price, right? Now we suddenly have a 360-degree view of the environmental factors and the conditions of the market. And that tells us whether, hey, it's a good time to go out and be involved in the market or not. Is it a cloudy day? Is it a sunny day in the market? What are we dealing with? Now, just because we can forecast the markets, right? Just like we can forecast weather, right? If you can forecast there's a storm, it doesn't mean we should be out running our errands in the middle of a storm, right? And it turns out the market is actually stormy and not really wise to be engaged in between 70 to 90% of the time. That means you have to be able to identify and be patient and allow yourself to say no, but now you can say no with total objectivity. You know why? Because you know when it's riskier and where the odds are not fully stacked strongly in your favor, that you can easily pass on things because you know that they're not going to provide an experience that's going to make what you do enjoyable. Instead, it'll stress you out if you engage it, right? So that's really critical. Understanding this fatal flaw and knowing how to step outside of it is critical, because this is what causes people to endlessly keep coming back to the point where they feel compelled to search for the next new thing that's supposedly working now. And this is what perpetuates the common experience of inconsistency, uncertainty, and fear. All right. Now, with that in mind, you know what the three underlying causes of uncertainty are at this point. Let's summarize those. Okay. They are relying on lagging indicators, not having the complete data to provide total objectivity to identify where the real-time demand is at every moment in the market that you're looking at. And lastly, it's dealing with the fatal flaw that's inherent in all the systems and strategies that you'll ever use. So now let me ask you this. If you could eliminate the uncertainties in any market or timeframe and were certain of a favorable outcome 80 to 90% of the time, would you still experience the same doubt, fear, and stress? Do you see how different your emotional and psychological experience would be? See, when you know when and where the odds are stacked in your favor versus when and where they're not, that changes everything for your ability to be confident about your actions to be successful and to do so with consistency. Confidence and consistency, the key words here. And those are just two out of the four I want to cover with you in a second. This brings me to the one skill that I alluded to in the title of my presentation, which is learning how to accurately forecast future price action based on accurate real-time demand. Because remember, if you know where the demand is in real time, then you also know where price is going next. Because demand moves first, then price follows after. And the simplest and most profitable way to trade the market is by identifying when and where there are significant imbalances between where price is and where the actual demand is. The key is having a significant imbalance, however. It's not just any imbalance. We want a significant imbalance. And these happen all the time throughout the week, each and every week. But this is what provides you with frequent, low risk, high probability opportunities for profit. Now, let's go ahead and for a second, I want to just get my video back on here. I want you guys to look at my video, okay? I don't want to share something with you, okay? I'm holding a rubber band, okay? Now think about when this rubber band is, if you can think of over here where I'm holding now, my fist will be demand, okay? And over here, this is price, okay? Price is always looking to catch up to demand, okay? Now, if you think about where price is stretched out here, do I have a strong probability it's going to snap back to hit my finger to come back and meet that demand here? Okay, look at this. Not really, right? But now look, what if we stretch out a little bit? Okay, it's stretched. Will it snap back? Yeah, it sort of does. It's not great, right? But look how obvious it becomes when it's overstretched, right? When we're overstretched, that's a significant imbalance. And that's what we're looking for. We want to see that price is so far away from demand that it statistically has a very low probability of continuing to go further away from demand, that it has to snap back to catch up with where demand is. That's a critical factor. But let's not make the mistake of getting single-minded about this, because it's not just having a significant imbalance that we can see, let's say, in a where price is compared to a moving average or where RSI is at or things like that. No, remember, we have eight major factors and there's subsets with each of those that need to be taken into account. So if you look at having multiple factors that reflect, they're all together now causing a combined impact where demand is significantly in out of away from where price is at, now we have a statistically viable opportunity for low risk, high probability profit. Does that make sense, everybody? Let me know if that makes sense. Okay, I'd like to get a yes or just a why. Okay, you can ask a question if you want. This doesn't make sense to you. But again, demand and price. Price needs to be significantly out of balance with where demand is, but you have to see that in the majority of the factors, not just one, but the majority of the factor. Okay, that's awesome. Getting my yeses. All right, wonderful. All right, so I don't want to keep you distracted with my video. Let's continue. So as we go here to the next phase, I want you to, with that information, understand that this is what it means when I say demand imbalance arbitrage. We're arbitraging the difference between where price is and where demand is, all right? It's an innovative industry-first methodology that eliminates the uncertainty, it eliminates the inconsistency and the need for having to hold on to large drawdowns that are traditionally experienced in the financial markets. All that goes away. And it's the only method guaranteed to consistently identify and take advantage of frequent, very low-risk pockets of imbalance between price and demand, and where you're able to profit from those imbalances 80 to 90% of the time. In other words, your analysis will be objective and you will be right at least 80 to 90% of the time. Think about what it would mean to you and how you would feel when you knew your analysis of what the market will do is going to be right at least 80% of the time. And especially when your downside risk is never more than 2% or less of your brokerage account capital. Right? So demand imbalance arbitrage. Arbitrage simply means taking advantage of the difference between where price is and where demand is, where there's that imbalance. Okay. Now I want to mention something here. This is really important. I've been around now since 2010. 2011 is when I started to formally teach. What's interesting about being around for so long, now you would think that someone who's out there teaching people and helping others, you're always going to have, you know, clients that are disappointed and let down and, you know, well, not here. If you look me up, you'll see that I don't have clients that come to me and get disappointed and let down. I never fail to deliver on my promise, because what I'm promising isn't something that you have to hope for or try, right? And see if it works. It's like kind of like if you want to learn how to be a pilot, you don't go to pilot school and say, I'm going to try to become a pilot. You either do or you don't. When you graduate and you follow the process you were taught, what happens? You learn how to fly airplanes, right? You learn how to take off and land successfully. You can make a very successful, stable career out of it. So this isn't one of these things where it's seasonal or it's a fad, right? Again, remember, in 10 plus years, I've never tweaked, fixed, modified, or updated this, not even once, okay? It's as constant as gravity, because it's a principle-based approach that is also based in the probabilities and knowing where the probabilities are stacked in your favor or not. right? So that's critical. And so with that in mind, I want you to remember that for you to be successful, you have to have a way, not just to have something that is that's going to make you money, but you have to know how not to lose money, how not to give the money back, all right? And that's by knowing that the odds are always favoring your outcome no less than 80, 90% of the time. And that's why when you look, do your due diligence, you find that we always deliver on our promise. Now, do we have people that need to do things their way? Do we have people that are tinkering and trying this and trying that? Sure. Does that slow progress? Yes. Do people not do what they're supposed to do? Yes. That's just human nature. But you can't put this and apply it diligently and not come out with successful results as what it provides. That's been a constant for 10 plus years. Okay. And so you want to know that. And one of the things I do is I actually like to have a very personal approach to meeting people up front. I don't stuff them off on some representative. This is my life's work. And a lot of what I've figured out early on is I'm enjoying the community of people that I'm building around me. They become often like my family. Many have become my best friends. And so I enjoy the personal hands-on approach, but I also want a very responsible approach. So I don't take people on who are in a desperate situation or have too little capital that's going to make an impact, that's going to cause them to be under pressure to try to abuse this. It's, you know, what I'm careful about is also, I don't want people coming to this with, you know, what happens, I've seen grown adults come to me where they need this so bad. Now they're doing well, but they have this need to, something's pressuring them. And so I don't care, no amount of money is worth bringing someone in and allowing them to self-sabotage because of the state of mind they're in or pressured circumstance. Because grown adults can suddenly turn into a 16-year-old who just got their driver's license and daddy just bought them a brand new Lamborghini. That combination is not going to end well. And many of the folks come to me that they're married, they've got kids. I don't want to be a cause for their self-sabotage, right? So I do a full, thorough evaluation to see if there's an appropriate fit, if it makes sense. Can they take a responsible step forward with me? And can I guarantee their success? Because I can't take anyone who I don't believe I'm confident in that they'll do what I ask them to do, or I can guarantee their success. Does that make sense? So we have to have an intellectually honest way to approach this. Otherwise, things break down. And this is the reason why we have such a great track record with our clients, why we love our clients and our clients love us. And that's going to become, you don't have to take my word for it, but that becomes immediately apparent when you do just a little bit of due diligence. And you'll notice there's nothing but very consistent, congruent feedback. Now, this enables both new and experienced traders alike, okay, to do the following. You're able to confidently forecast what's going to happen next in any market or timeframe with 80 to 90% analysis accuracy. And you'll also be able to filter out 80 to 90% of the trade opportunities that look good, but are in fact likely to struggle and fail. How many of you guys do you remember taking these juicy trades that look like, oh, this is a sure winner, you get in, teaches you, and all it does is struggle, and then it frustrates you and it loses, right? Okay, so again, if you take 100 positions, God bless you. Well, that can be a thing of the past. Someone just made a comment all the freaking time. I get it. And again, we talked about the major factors. Most people are looking at fundamentals or some news maybe or technical analysis. That's majority. But what about all the other factors taking into account? And without knowing what those are and how to understand their combined impact on price, you're going to be blindsided by those forces, right? So it's critical that you know that when you have an approach, you don't want to have an approach that's just looking for opportunities that look good that are likely to make you money. You want an approach where the opportunities that you're looking for are not likely to lose money. Everything changes with that perspective. Okay. I'll say it again. Don't look for opportunities to make money. That's going to blindside you. We have to look at opportunities that are not likely to lose money. And you have to have an objective process, a way to have a risk filter, if you will, to help you know how to identify those with total objectivity, right? Again, like if you took an RV bus and you had 10 of your friends come in and we all looked at the gauge, the fuel gauge, and it said there's a quarter tank of gas and we had a 250-mile drive, we can all agree. No one's going to say, nah, you can make it. Come on, let's go. No, everyone's going to say, yeah, no, you got to stop and refuel. A quarter tank of gas won't get us 250 miles down the road, okay? That level of objectivity is critical. With that in mind, let me show you a quick oversimplified example of the market's recent downturn, okay? And by the way, I want to say it's always easier said than done, right? We say, oh, well, that's easy. Everyone pays lip service. Don't lose money. Hold on to your winners. But when you have a process like what I'm providing for you here of a an objective, statistically, where in other words, the odds are stacked in your favor, right? Viable method where you can identify that and know for a fact before you commit, knowing whether you're going to win or lose with at least an 80 to 90% probability before you enter. And after you enter, continue to be able to use the real-time demand analysis to help you understand whether the market is suddenly shifting, something dynamically entered into the marketplace, and it's no longer allowing demand to continue to push, to continue to hit your target. And you can see demand shifting away from your target in real time. Well, guess what? Demand moves first, price moves second. So we see demand shifting away from your target. And it, now you know statistically, the odds are no longer favoring price moving in that direction because it has to catch back up to where demand is. Demand has shifted away from your target. Then now you get to experience something very interesting, your ability to now forecast when you're about to actually have a failure in the market before it turns into a loser. So now you can come out with a little bit of a fractional profit. So you're still positive before it turns into a full loss. There's no more second guessing and hoping and wondering and maybe you'll recover this. No, because you'll see demand objectively shifting away. So there's no more guessing. You know what's going to happen next. So why would you wait? There's no reason to wait anymore, right? Does that make sense? So this is a critical aspect of what we do. And I stress that what I'm about to show you is an oversimplified example because there's a lot more that goes into producing accurate analysis. But this quick example will at least represent how visually intuitive it is. Remember, I talked to you about that fuel gauge. I'm going to show you an example of that. Right, since what I'm showing you here on this chart, typically that's going to, for us, will be like the first visually indicative factor that tells us, hey, Roger, hey, this, that, and the other, whoever, you know, whoever's behind the chart, the market is about to turn significantly downwards in this case. Okay. And then I'd have to apply the rest of my analysis process to confirm and validate that indeed there's an 80 to 90% probability of following through. Okay. But the rest of my analysis is going to take obviously a whole training course and we can't go into that right now. But I want you to notice the red and green squiggly line below. Okay. So let's take my trusty laser pointer. Okay. Now look at this. Down here, this is what I said, where I've taken all of the combined demand factors, all eight factors, and combined them into an aggregate visually intuitive indicator that says together, the combined impact, okay, of all those factors is showing me where the real-time demand is in the market. And it gives me a reference point because I understand now how things are flowing. And we always look at something that is relative to where we are now to where it was before. So let me give you the quick example. So we see here this first vertical line. Now, I want you to notice where price was over here. Okay, you see how I've got this diagonal line here that goes across, okay? So here's where price is. When price was there, look at where demand was, okay? Now, when price moved higher, demand also moved higher. So that tells us there's a neutrality there to the market, right? We don't see any imbalances. We see follow through, okay? We see demand basically agreeing that price can go higher and price goes higher. Now, when price naturally pulls back and then begins to come back here and retest the previous resistance, right? This price level here where price was resisted initially a few times here before it broke through and came back down. So it came back over here. Look what happened. What's interesting is demand fell through and then never recovered back to where it was previously. So you can see visually, instantly, that's my first indication. Hey, Roger, check it out. If you have a long-term portfolio, you got your retirement account, this is now telling me in a very timely way, okay? Not, oh, this market can't hold, it's going to crash eventually, and then it runs for another year and a half. No, no, no. This is telling me in a very timely way that within the day or two, the next day or two, the market is about to shift and move significantly lower because as the market starts to push lower here in price, demand will start to snowball, okay? Now, how do I know that? And all this, again, there's training on that, right? So, but just keep your eyes on the simplicity and the benefit, the value of what this is pointing out for you, okay? And the point is that there's no guessing for me that the market can potentially hold, potentially go higher. No, no, no. It's telling me demand has shifted much more quickly to the downside. And therefore, the price level is no longer sustainable and it's going to have to make a significant move down. All right. So that's really critical. Now, we can look at another example here. Here's one where the market came back, rallied a little bit, recovered. Yay. Great. When it came back down and shifted, it pulled back. Look here, price pulled back, came back to where that same price level was on this side, okay? So when we see that, we look over here, look at where demand was, okay? When it came back to retest that area, look where demand went, fell dramatically, was not sustainable. So we can see here that when price came back, demand, there was a significant imbalance where demand was significantly lower. So you see these dislocations that occur. We know, again, we have another significant big move that's going to come, right, to the downside. So these are ways to protect your long-term money, but the same exact process can help you make profits intraday or on shorter term cycles, whether you're a position trader, a swing trader, or an intraday, whatever you're focusing on, doesn't matter what time frame. What matters is that you've got this objective real-time demand analysis that is carried out on every single time frame that you are interested in. Okay. So that's how we operate here. Now, here's the thing. I mentioned to you that you can take advantage of this also on intraday. So I want to show you something that I'm also, I always have fun with when people kind of text me. So I've got a client that texted me recently, and he was actually looking at the market and was trading it that day. And so he sent me a text message and said, Roger, you kind of hammered on waiting for the obvious ones. Just thought you could show new students the obvious inverse head and shoulders with divergence on three consecutive timeframes this morning. That was a couple of days ago on Tuesday, May 24th, by the way. Could have entered a few places from 9:57 to 10:28, this time zone. Just a really obvious moneymaker this morning. I got out too early, but he was up almost 4%. Wait for the easy ones, kind of reinforcing that. And he was just kind of being kind enough to just share that his experience. So he was up 4%. But that's always fun. So that's I want you to understand that it's not just for long term, but it's for short term, and it's anything in between. Okay. Hopefully that makes sense to you. Now, one of the things that I think is important to really highlight here is, and by the way, that if you look on the right side of the chart, you'll see that the yellow circle, it was that price action that he was involved in on the chart. Just FYI on that. Okay. But one of the things that I think is important to highlight is the fact that you heard him mention divergence. Divergence, there's a lot of people who will trade divergences, but divergence itself is hit or miss. But it is one of the indications that tell us that there's something there for us to look at. So you can see divergence in demand with versus price. But again, there's a lot of other things that go into giving us the accuracy so that we're right 80 to 90% of the time. So be careful not to think that we're leaning on just this indicator by itself, because again, the indicator itself, you can go reverse engineer, reproduce this if you want. It took me a while to figure out how to aggregate and correlate all the different factors into it so that it gives me a very accurate real-time demand indication of where the demand is. But what's important is the process of analysis. How do we interpret these things, and how do these things relate to one another, and how do they work so that we're not having a hit or miss experience with anything that we're seeing, anything that we're doing? Does that make sense? So again, anything on its own will provide a hit or miss, whether you're trading divergences, whether you're using an indicator, whether you're using technology, but it's the process that wraps around that gives us the ability to understand how everything relates. So you have a truly 360 degree view of what's going on environmentally in the market. Once you know that the environment is conducive, or the environment is this way or that way, you know what it's conducive or prone to do. So as an example, you and I couldn't go out under a clear blue sky and expect it to start suddenly raining overhead. So we're going to first see clouds building up in the horizon and coming towards us, right? And as clouds build up, they get darker. Okay. These are identifiable factors. But what's interesting about all these environmental factors, whether it's the market or the weather, they take time to build, and that's what makes them forecastable. So there's absolutely no guesswork. Okay. There's no second guessing. There's no doubt. All right. It is what it is. It always works, and always works as it should. Okay. And that's critical. I'm sure that's a relief for all of you. Now, here's the thing that leads us to. By learning this one skill, you'll have what I call the four vital C's for stress-free trading. What's the point of trading if you're going to be stressed and having this gut-wrenching pain in the pit of your stomach, and, you know, and this frustration, and all this stuff leads to a very deteriorated outcome, right? So the first thing we want to have is clarity, but we want clarity with total objectivity, just like the fuel gauge. It's not subjective to someone's interpretation. We need to be able to know what to anticipate, what it is it's telling us, with total objectivity. Okay. We all have to be able to agree on it. Consistency. It's got to be consistent. If you don't have consistency, you have nothing. I'll say that again. If you don't have consistency, you have nothing. And it has to be sustainable, or again, you're going to go back to starting over. And starting over, learning new things is a very costly and time-consuming element. And most people don't think about the time that they lose, but that's more valuable than your money, because money you can always go replenish or make more of, but you can't go make more time up, okay? So this is critical in terms of not wasting and losing any more time, right? You want to actually be moving progressively forward, building your account rather than having this roller coaster experience of make money, giving it back, make money, giving it back. Make sense? The third C is control. Do you understand when you know what you're dealing with? I've got a quarter tank of gas. I have control over my experience. I don't have to go stress myself out and push my vehicle to the limit and then wonder whether I'm going to run out of gas, if I'm going to make it or not. I know up front what I'm doing. I know what I have to deal with. Takes the stress out. Okay. So now I have control over my performance outcomes as well as my experience. Again, having performance is one thing, but if you're stressed along the way, you're bound to make mistakes, because when you're under pressure, you can't help but make mistakes. Listen to me, folks. If you're now, a lot of you are grown adults, you've had many years of driving your vehicle, you know how to drive a car. But notice how you'll drive your car very differently and a bit more aggressively when you're late to an important appointment. Okay. The risks go up that you might have a speeding ticket, get into an accident, possibly even a life-altering event. Why? Because you're under pressure. You're so focused on getting through, getting to your destination, that you're not looking at things in the same calm, full perspective, right? We're under pressure. We misbehave, right? So we want to take pressure out in all of its various forms. And that's one of the things I really stress, is no pressure, okay? When you don't have any pressure, now, whatever you're doing, you're much more likely to sustain a focus on properly applying the process. And that process, when it's already developed and designed to statistically stack the odds strongly in your favor with at least an 80, 90% edge, no matter what, that is the key to success, but happiness along the way. You're enjoying what you're doing. And the fourth C is confidence. All of that will build your confidence. Without confidence, again, you start to have pressure, right? So we want you to have clarity, consistency, control, and confidence. And this is what the skill provides. Okay. Now, if you're coming to this, you're serious, you're fully committed to making the markets work for you instead of being worked by the markets, that means transforming your experience in the markets with objective clarity, experiencing consistent performance results month after month, having confidence because you're forecasting with 80 to 90% analysis accuracy, getting rid of the fear, the doubt, the second guessing of yourself, and the stress, eliminating large drawdowns and big risks, right? So again, we talk. You'll hear people telling you, well, we have an 80% or 86% win rate or whatever. But what oftentimes doesn't get shared is, how big is the risk? Are we holding on to large drawdowns? And what about the times when it exceeds that area? Some people will take up to 25% risk, all right? Well, once it hits 30, you know, you're definitely going to probably be out. So that's going to eat back a majority of your profits, right? It's going to wipe out 30-50% of your profits. So again, that's not an honest win rate. An honest win rate is when you can go 1-to-1 or better, okay? But if you have just at least a 1-to-1, that means you're never risking more than what you can make when you initialize a position. If you can make more, you'll make more. But with at least a 1-to-1, you want to be right at least 80-90% of the time. Now you've got a true win rate. See the difference? And incidentally, you could take a losing strategy and turn it into a winner with this process, because this process acts as a risk filter. So if you have any position, any strategy you've already invested in, you want to make work and it stopped working, but you loved it and you're grieving over it, you can redeem it. How? Well, you could see whenever, let's say for statistical purposes, keep math simple. Again, let's say we just want a 1-to-1, again, for the math, you want to make more, you can make more. But the thing is, we want to keep everything easy. With a 1-to-1 risk reward ratio, again, not risking more than a dollar for every dollar I want to make when I initialize a position. If we see 100 instances of the strategy that you want to trade, whatever it is, all right, and let's say it's only the market conditions are favorable only 40% of the time, okay? Well, that means you've got a 40% winning edge. So that leaves you with 60% losers. So for every 100 instances of that position that qualify, that say, yeah, this meets my criteria for entering, and I enter, I'm going to find out of 100 that I'm going to lose 60% of the time, I'm going to win 40. But with this risk filter, right, you're able to see with probability analysis, with demand and balance arbitrage, you're able to see which 60 out of the 100 are likely going to not work out, which means if you have an 80% minimum analysis accuracy, 80% of 60 is 48. That means you're going to avoid taking 48 out of the 60 that are going to lose right up front before you even enter them. You'll know up front. So you're trading less, okay? But look what happens. You're left with 12 losers that slip through. Those 12 that slip through get added to the 40. Now, normally you would have taken all 100, but because of the risk filter, you've avoided 48. So now I've got a total of 52 trades that you've taken. Well, 40 winners out of 52 trades is a 76%, actually it's almost 77% win rate on a losing strategy simply by avoiding the losers up front. You see how critical this is? Okay, but we're not done. Because if we're forecasting, if we have real-time demand analysis, what happens to the 12 that slipped through when we entered? Well, the demand had to have been enough to cause us to believe that, hey, this is going to likely hit our target. So it qualified getting us in. Well, as it's in and price is moving a quarter, half the way, two-thirds of the way, and then suddenly we see demand shift. Well, with an 80% analysis accuracy, 80% of the 12 will be filtered and forecasted to be failing before they end up losers, right? That leaves us with the 20% of the 12. 20% of 12 is going to be 2.4. We can't have a fractional trade. So let's just round up to 3. So now 3 out of the 12 that slipped through, right, will turn into full losers. But that leaves you with 9 out of the 12 that you're able to forecast ahead of time that you are going to see a failure if you remained in there. So you knew objectively to get out while you still had some profits. So they go into winners column. So now instead of 40 winners, you've got 40 full winners, but 9 fractional winners, where you got a little bit of fraction of a profit, right? Instead of waiting for it to lose, right? So you avoided that loss. So now you have 49 winners out of 52. Well, now that gives you what? Over 94% win rate on a losing strategy that only is effective 40% of the time. But because you're able to forecast which, buying signals were likely to fall through and which were not, okay? So that is a game changer, folks. Now, this is going to accelerate your financial goals with unparalleled control over your trading experience and performance outcome. And if that's what you want to do, then I invite you to go here to marketforecastingacademy.com and grab your free mini course on demand imbalance arbitrage to learn all about that. Again, demand imbalance arbitrage is an innovative industry first. There's nothing you can compare it to because there's nothing like it. Something that was developed and innovated back over 10 years ago. And if you want to learn in greater detail all about that and all the mechanisms, how I got there, what makes it work, why is it so consistent, how come it hasn't blown up and failed, how come it hasn't been fixed, tweaked, or modified, all these things, and see examples, years of examples and living proof, that's where you go to learn all about that. Okay, so marketforecastingacademy.com, and I'll be happy to answer any questions we've got any time, but I think we're probably running into the next speaker, but I'm here for any questions for you. All right. Let me answer a question real quick. If you have 90% accuracy win rate, why not just trade it and spend time selling it? So that brings a very important point to home that I want to address. A lot of people don't ask that question enough. So I actually reached the goals that I wanted back in 2010. So remember I said I had a lot of free time on my hands? I can tell you, when you have a level of control where you don't have to worry about competition or a market changing or economics changing, you don't have geographic locations, anything that's pressuring you, you really relax about what you need to do. And there's a level of security and confidence that comes with that. So I have to tell you, I'm not a trader. I don't grind. I'm not trading all the time. I don't need to. Okay. And I actually teach my clients not to come in to this program thinking I want to become a trader and trade for a living. In all honesty, trading for a living is a grind, and it's a constant effort, and it's difficult. What you want to do is allow the consistency to build up your account so that you have a level of, sometimes people think, well, oh my gosh, making seven figures, for those who haven't made seven figures, feel like that's a lot of money. Really, it's not, it's an asset. You have to think of making seven figures not as becoming wealthy and rich, but actually you want to see it like an asset. Like if you're a carpenter and you buy a bunch of machines, the machines may cost you $250,000, $500,000, $1 million, right? You have a manufacturing shop, but they're there just to spit out more to generate income for you. So what we want to do is you want to build your account to where initially I like to see people replace their full-time income after they've done that. And usually it takes about 10 to 15 hours a week. So it's a part-time effort to generate the kinds of results that we're talking about, and kind of has an accelerated ability because of the consistency. But ultimately what you'll find is as the money grows, you get to place, and depending on what you start with, for some people it could take 3 or 4 or 5 years. It doesn't matter. The point is you have a plan, a realistic plan to actually get there. once you replace your full-time income with your part-time effort, then you want to look at replacing your trading income with passive income. So you let the abundance grow. So you start to invest in passive income yielding investments that then replace your need to trade. And so you don't want to be in a position where you ever need to trade. You want to be in a position where you want to trade. And even now, I'd only take clients on who want to trade, want to enhance, not where they need it. Okay. Cause that puts them under pressure again. So we don't want to have pressure that we have to avoid that. So the idea is when you come to the market with that perspective, you've got a lot of free time on your hands. Well, I'm a young guy. What am I going to do with my time? When people start to ask me to teach them, why wouldn't I make extra money when I have value to produce? That's like if you have a successful restaurant, you open up a second restaurant, that's a little more work. But then you realize I've got a formula here for success. Why wouldn't I franchise that and let 100 other people go learn how to, or not learn, but give them the opportunity to go ahead and open up that franchise. And they're going to succeed right out of the gate. And I get to make more money. I'm leveraging my success and expertise. It's just, it's a win-win-win. I mean, I don't think there's anybody who doesn't mind making more money. So let's be honest. I like that. And actually, the way I structure my fees is I take a little bit of a upfront to cover the, you know, a person's, you know, my cost to support somebody. But then I usually make my profit. I depend on their performance, their success. And so there's a performance fee up to a limit, you know, so I get to share that. And that creates passive income. So does that make sense to you? Does that answer your question? Hopefully that makes sense. Do I have a more extensive version of the free mini course? When you go to marketforecastingacademy.com, it's going to be very detailed and you'll get all the answers. I don't think there's any question that I've ever been asked in 10 years that doesn't answer. Okay. So Didi, did that answer your question? Okay. Awesome. I hope that helps. And that's the honest truth. So for me, it's a lot of fun to have something that's valuable, that transforms a person's life. That you can provide. It's fun for me. I don't feel like it's work, and I don't feel like I'm selling. I'm teaching, I'm educating people. One of the painful things that I have to live with is when people tell me, why don't I know about you? I wish I knew about you. You would have saved me so much money and years out of my effort and the pain and suffering and the humiliation, you know? So this is my way when people are just asking, hey, would you want to present? Would you want to share? Yeah, I'll be happy to do that and let people know that this exists and it's an enjoyable thing for me. It's a great way to pass my time and fill my day because it's very rewarding. And I get a lot of great comments that are, you know, filled with gratitude and love towards me. And who doesn't want to feel that? You know, it's very positive. Thanks, guys. I appreciate your time. David, I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for this time with all of you. God bless you. I hope you guys found this valuable and eye-opening. And I look forward to meeting those of you who want to move forward and learn about this. We'll do an evaluation, see if it makes sense to take the next steps.